hear today's gospel. At that time, as Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, beseeching him and saying, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home in terrible distress." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion answered him, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority with soldiers under me, and I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard him, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I say to you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and sit at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. There men will weep and gnash their teeth." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go, be it done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. Go and be it done. The servant was healed. Now the centurion, for those of you who don't know, was a commander of 100 men. There were 100 soldiers under a centurion. This centurion was most likely a Gentile and very probably a Roman, a hated Roman. He came to Christ asking for help for his servant. In reading the Fathers of the Church, one of the commentaries had a very interesting take on the centurion. This was written over 1,000 years ago. This person, this father of the church, said the centurion is like us and we are like the centurion. You ask yourself, how can that be? The centurion, or we, can be worried about 100 things instead of the things of the kingdom. We can be so preoccupied with this world that we forget about the kingdom. We can be so wicked, if we are honest, each and every one of us, myself included, can be so wicked, so mean, so hurtful, so angry, that we are worse than the next 100 people around us. We are sometimes our own centurions in unrighteousness. Why is this so? Well, God created us good, right? Everything He created was good. What happened? We sinned. And into this world we invited corruption. And we are corrupted. Do you ever get frustrated at things? Have you ever tried to swim and you can't swim? You're just not a good swimmer. You should be able to, right? You look at your friend next door and they're an excellent swimmer. You got two legs, two arms. Why can't you swim? Why can't I swim? You ever tried to play tennis? You ever tried to go rock climbing? You ever tried to play the piano? Have you ever failed at something? And did that irritate you? Did that make you angry? Well, yes. And you ask yourself, why can they do it and I can't? We're corrupted. We have different gifts, different skills, different abilities. That is true. But there is an underlying corruption in our soul and body that leads us astray. Our very heart, our very feelings lead us astray. I tell you often I love sports and I watch games, but I actually don't let myself watch that many because I get so, and this is the word of the church, passionate about the outcome of a silly game. What is it? It's entertainment. But boy, if the other team scores, if I'm not careful, the passion that wells up and the things that I might say or do, literally. It's easier just to not watch. Just don't watch. But that's really avoiding the point because we have that corruption. We recently upgraded our home computer. We had XP that went out of support. So we had to upgrade. And I was trying to come up with an example that would describe this corruption to us. Imagine if you got a brand new computer and the mouse didn't work. Imagine you right-click, no, left-click, and it's like you do right. And you do right, and it's like you move the cursor. And when you move the mouse up, it goes down. Or when you type on the keyboard, you get all Greek letters instead of English. And then you switch it to Greek and you get all Russian. And you're like, what is this? It's not doing what I'm telling it to do. Or when you try to, let's say, write a letter to a friend. I know nobody does that anymore. But let's say you tried to type a letter out to a friend. And you tried to increase the font size. And instead it reduced it. Or if you tried to bold it, and instead it increased the font size. It kind of does what you want it to do, but not exactly. And it keeps throwing up new things that get in the way. That's what our heart and that's what our minds do to us. We are corrupted. This is the fundamental truth of the church. We were created good. We disobeyed. We invited sin into the world. And now we are corrupted. And we seek healing in God. We have slaves like the servant, like the centurion, who are sick and paralyzed. Our heart and mind are our servants. And they are paralyzed and sick in sin. And we need Christ to come to us to heal us, just like He healed the centurion's servant. Think about your feelings. Read the paper. Look at the news. Don't a lot of people seem very angry? Am I the only one that notices that? They seem very, very angry about things. Okay, that's a feeling, anger. Did you know anger is not a bad thing in and of itself? Christ said, be angry, but sin not. Anger is something God gave us when unrighteousness occurs. We see something and we say, no, that should not be. If we see someone striking another person, it wells up within us. No, that shouldn't be. Stop. But we can't take it too far and commit the same sin that person we're trying to stop is doing. We have to be careful. We have to come to Christ. We have to be humble if we want healing. Not everybody wants healing. Do you know that? Not everyone wants to be healed. Some people prefer the corruption. I've seen it in my own family, extended family. They preferred to go off course, to live in the woods, rather than to be in the city of God. It's a shame to watch. You could talk to them, you could speak to them. I like what I'm doing. I don't want to hear it. Go away. Leave me alone. I'm happy. And then you look at them and think, no, you're not happy. You're miserable. But you're too proud to admit it. And you don't want to change. Yeah, what you're doing is fun for a little while. But at some point, doesn't it get boring? Doesn't it get expensive? Doesn't it, not to mention all the other truly, truly negative things that come with that. Don't you get tired of this? At some point, don't you want to grow up? But no. And if I look at myself and some of the things I struggle with, it's immaturity. I don't want to let go. But we have to be like that centurion, coming to Christ in humility. He had probably sought doctors. He had probably sought help. No one could do it. He came to Christ and said, Lord, with all humility, I need your help because I have not been able to do this by my own. I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. And if we do that, if we invite Christ into our hearts, and if we follow Him in the life of the church, then we will begin to receive healing. It's a process, and it is not completed this side of the grave, except for very few. We call them saints. But there is a process where we grow and we learn. And just because I get angry because of what somebody did, I catch myself a little bit more each and every time, hopefully, with God's help. It's like, okay, he shouldn't have done that. They shouldn't, she, whatever. But my reaction, my response, is controlled, hopefully, by the grace of God. That's what we're called to do, to grow into the image and likeness of God. It's not like that. It's not. And some people don't want it. Well, that's okay. We pray for them and we hope. So be like the centurion, have humility, and seek to grow in grace. Seek healing for your soul, your heart, in your mind as you go forward into the summer and whatever concerns that I know you all have, health, relationship, or family. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.